Good. We're on. All right. Good. Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's always good to be able to preach the Word of God, speak about the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what all God asks us to do, is that we speak the Word. But today I want to speak about God's ways, not our ways. And how often do we see that in our own life, that we go about our own way so much, don't we? And not always asking, consulting God, you know, God, what do you think? How should I do this? And so we just often, we just run ahead, don't we? And don't always ask God of his purposes and plans and intentions for us. But we know that song that Frank Sinatra sang, I Done It My Way, and I think it's a really great song, that. But and also, no one sings it like Frank Sinatra, but he said, I done it my way, you know, and he sang that with a real passion in that. And I think if we've got to boast about something, I done it my way, well, it's got to be, well, I done it for you, Lord, you know, and that way. I feel all... not quite right here this morning somehow. I'm not in the centre, Raj. you got to be right, you know what I mean? creature's a habit. And see, I want it done my way. But, yeah, so we need to be doing things God's way, don't we? And it's something that, as people, we find it very hard to understand that, well, why should I do it your ways, God, you know? But we don't always consider God's ways, do we? And we often ask, and we, as I said, we find it hard to understand that, that God's ways are different to us, aren't they? And our ways are very often, they're always usually self-centred, often self-centred, the what about me attitude, it's all about me, it's I. But as we know in Scripture, that God's ways are very clearly defined. They are very clearly defined, and they're all laid out for us to grasp hold of us, so that for us, there will be no misconception or understanding of the precepts and plans and purposes that God has laid out in his word for us. And as we know, in the word of God, there's no ifs and buts. There's no ifs and buts. And there is no room for doubts and disbelief, that, you know, God's word is clear. And as Isaiah put it so well in chapter 55 of Isaiah, verses 8 and 9. And Isaiah says here, or God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So Lord God, we just commit this time to you, Father. Lord, for the word that you've given me to share this day, Father. Lord, that we'll continue to walk in your ways. Lord, you've shown us the way, and your word clearly says, you know the way, walk ye in it. So Lord, let that be on each of our hearts this day, Father. Lord, as your people, we'll walk in and understand your plans and purpose and the precepts of your word, Lord. Lord, that we'll do things your ways. So we bless you and thank you. So there we see in the words of Isaiah there, where Isaiah received the word from the Lord about doing things in the things of God, that often we know, we think our ways are higher, they're more important, but no, they're not. God's ways are more important, and they are higher than us. But so we see, but our God is far, far above all things. Amen. God is God above all things, and and He is far above everything that is too incomprehensible for us to understand that. And this is where our faith, this believing faith, outworks in us, doesn't it? When we understand these things, and this is where our faith has to really come alive. Our faith has to really come alive, and the surge of God's power to rise up within us. And we really experienced that this morning in our time of worship, where the faith was rising up, and we're led so well in worship this morning, and the music team and everyone just entered in to receiving, being a part of that, and just feeling that the God rise up within us. And isn't that what God wants in all of each and every one of us? For us to rise up and to be the people of power and strength that God wants us to be. The faith to believe, church. The faith to believe that God knows better than we do. And to have that desire within us that we know, that we know, that we know. Amen? That God directs our path and the paths which we are to follow. And to have that understanding that we are vessels of little strength. And we are weak on our own, aren't we? Without the strength of God and God's leading and direction, we often fail miserably. But what we have to see how awesome our God is. Amen? Our God is an awesome God. And to see that He is infinite and we are finite. And He knows from the very beginning, while we just see the short part of the now, all that time that we're looking ahead, we just see the little part. But He knows everything. He knows what we're all about. And while we grasp for wisdom, God already knows what's going on. All the time that we're questioning and asking God why and looking for answers and an understanding, God already knows. Amen? God is always ahead of us in those. And I'm sure many of us here today, you know, we could give examples of the many times that, you know, that we've just gone ahead of God. And I'm sure we've all been guilty of that, just going ahead of God and not just waiting on Him and just getting a little bit of wisdom and receiving the right answers. But and I'm sure, you know, many of us have suffered the consequences of that. And often, you know, we'll plan things and want to do things and we get all these green lights, all the signs, everything links together. And you think, oh, that's good, all, you know, it's all fitting into place for me. But that may happen, but it may not always be God's way. And I know that with myself, I applied for a job in Papua New Guinea on the Ok-Tedi gold mine, and I got the job, and I got all these signs and everything was happening. I thought, oh, I'm getting all these green lights and things are happening, but, you know, I had to really, really search, you know, and say, well, is this your, this is what you want, God? And anyway, I went to PNG, but over there I contracted malaria and several other things that set me back and sort of suffered ever since. But also, out of that experience, God also opened the door that I was able to go back there on a mission trip. And for 3 weeks over there, and we went back over there, and the early days of Westvale, Pastor Brian and a team of about 13 of us was there. We all went over to PNG and ministered there. But God can always use something for good, amen? And so we need to see that. But so what I'm saying, in spite of our difficulty at often understanding God's ways and thoughts, He in His mercy, He promises to provide and help us at just the right time. And as we said many times before, that God will always provide. Amen? God will always provide for us, and that's His promise. For us to know that His way is perfect. It says that in Psalm 18:30, that God's ways are perfect, and that's the way we need to go. And we always need to have our thoughts and directions centered around God, looking to Him, wanting to go in His direction along that path that He's chosen for us to follow, and just to walk in His way, and to have that wisdom upon us, and to be able to, always to be able to decipher what is right. But in James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 5, and Philippians 4 and chapter 4 and verses 4 to 7, but in James chapter 1 there, verses 2 to 5, it encourages here there to seek wisdom, because if, you know, without wisdom, you know, how can we walk in God's way? How can we seek God's way? We just need that godly wisdom in here, in our hearts, there, that so we can really reach out and ask God the right way for the right things. And also, when wisdom is upon us, you know, we can face trials and tribulations and different situations in a far more effective way, can't we? When God's wisdom is upon us, we're not just running ahead. And I'd better read a few verses here so I don't get too caught up. But in the book of James chapter 1 here, it encourages there in verses 2 to 5, it says here, "Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it a great opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Amen. And so it goes on to say in verse 5, "If you need wisdom, ask your generous God, and He will give it to you." Amen. So that's God's promise there again. When we seek, we will find. When we ask, God will give. And there it's just speaking to, encouraging us to see, even though things come our way, that we are to consider it a great opportunity a great opportunity, you know, for a great time, a time of blessing, a time of joy. But and also in verse 2 it says there, it encourages us to consider it pure joy when we face trials. Well, you might say, "John, we'll go and tell that to someone else. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what's happening to us." But here, the Word of God, again, it encourages to consider it being pure joy, because when we face trials, well, that's when we are able to rejoice, to really reach out to God. And as it says here, it's a testing of our faith, isn't it? Many times when things don't go our way, when things that we're asked don't always work out, and things we really, really are dear to our hearts that we want and desire, that when it doesn't happen, you know, is God testing us? Does God want us to stand up? Yes, He does. And so he said, but it's also, as the Word says there, it's a great opportunity to for great joy, to really go through that, and to come through that trial and on the other side and say, "Yes, Lord, you helped me. Yes, Lord, I really enjoyed that experience, even though it wasn't pleasant." And but God wants us to push in at all times there. We We don't rejoice in the trials themselves, do we? We don't rejoice in things that happen to us. But we can rejoice in the possibilities. We can rejoice that in the midst of all these things, God is able to do something great. Amen? That God is able to do something good. But in amongst all this, we see how God cares for you, how much God does care for you, and how much that he does love you. And it says there in verse 5 that, you know, God is a generous God. And he wants to give everything. And another version of scripture says that it says that God gives liberally and without reproach, meaning that when God grants a gift, he does so liberally and without reproach, giving generously. That's what it means, not stinting, not being condescending or doing it begrudgingly. But God does all that, and he's toward us, but in amongst giving all these gifts, God doesn't remind us of our past, does he? He doesn't take us back there and say, well, back there, why should I give you this? Look what you've done there. God doesn't remind us of all these things. And he looks above all that, because that's his promise. He said, I'll remember your sins no more. And so that's the wonderful thing, that as God gives us things, and he's so giving toward us, and he doesn't remind us of our unworthiness, and it's a wonderful thing. So in amongst all this, and this is where we can decipher God's ways, because we're asking God for wisdom. And we know when we ask for God for wisdom, he gives. God is not a God of confusion. Amen? Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and what? A sound mind. Amen. Say there. But so in amongst all this, you know, we can decipher God's ways. That because a sound mind, not a confused or irrational, but able to make good judgments, we have have disciplined thought patterns with the ability to make the right decisions. And in amongst this, it all so includes qualities of self-control and self-discipline. That's what wisdom brings. That's what God's wisdom in our life does to that. But as I said, God's not hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. But fear may find a place in a person's life by reason of our temperament, our attitude, but it's not God's way, is it? It's not God's way for us to allow to be fear, controlled by fear or anything like that. It's not from God. And if we allow fear to control us, what happens? Fear has the power to immobilize us and torment us, and none of us want that in our lives. And John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Fear involves torment." And it also says, "But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." And we need to be made perfect in every way, and we will be able to dispel fear and everything. We are encouraged to receive by faith the love of God and Jesus Christ, and we're also to stand against this fear, knowing that, as the Scripture says, that perfect love cast out fear. And so that was the apostle's Paul. He encouraged us always to stir up the gift is within it. And it's only when we stir up that gift that is within sight, that's the only time that we can stand against fear and torment and any other unwanted distraction, you know, that's going to hinder our walk in God. When we stand against the enemy's plan, when we let the Spirit rise up within us, we can really make that stand. When we stir up that gift, the Spirit rises within us, and by the prompting of the Holy Spirit upon us, then we will do things God's way, not our ways. Amen? And that's the only time that when we allow this gift of God to really work in us, to stir within us, and just be led by the prompting of the God Spirit upon us, that we will do things God's way and not our ways, that we won't be running ahead. And we just want to dispel anything that is not of God. Amen? And as we know, when evil thoughts enter in, and if we dwell upon those thoughts, they quite often lead to evil actions, don't they? When we allow those unclean things in. But what the Word of God does tell us is to develop a spiritual mind, to be transformed and have the renewing of our mind, to be spiritually minded, brings peace in our life. And amen? Brings peace. And as the psalmist cried out to David, we know, mighty man of God, he said, change my heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And that needs to be all of our heart today, isn't it? If we're not walking strongly in the ways of God, well, let's get our heart toward God. As David was asking, he said, change my heart, O God. Let's get our heart right with God. Have a right heart for God. Have a right attitude for God. And really push in and there. And as he said there, renew a right spirit. We don't want the wrong spirit within us. Amen? But also in the words of the psalmist there, Psalm 115 and verse 59 there, where David's reaching out to God and he's asking God, talking to God and exalting God and just looking to him to help him. But the psalmist says, he says, I have considered my ways and turned my steps to your statutes. And that's what David was saying to God. As God was talking to him, as he was communicating with God, and God was talking back to him, and David said, he said, I've considered your ways, God, and I've turned my steps toward your statutes. What David is saying, he said, I've really thought about these things you've been saying to me, and I've turned my way towards you, and I'm going to walk and stand in your ways and your purposes and continually look to you and ask of you. And that's a great encouragement for all of us. David turns his ways to God for the better. He turned his ways into testimony. Our ways should be always a way of testimony, aren't they? Amen? The things that we do, things that we say, we should be able to turn all these things, all our endeavours and reaching out to God, for God, to people, for God, to turn this into a testimony and to have the faith to believe. You know, we all know that faith is a substance or the assurance of our hope, as it says in Hebrews 11:1. And as we walk in the faith, as we learn to walk in faith, we find that hope in God begins to rise within it. That faith, that hope will always rise up as we reach out in that way. And again, the Psalms, so much in the Psalms, and they just teach us there to put your hope in God. And as we do that, and we'll see that faith assures us, our faith assures us of such hope in God does not disappoint. Amen? And God, faith in God, it won't disappoint. And you won't be disappointed. We can guarantee that, because this is God's word, not ours. And this is what it's saying. Put your hope in God's word. Why? Because it will comfort you. It will lift you up in the times of grief and distress and affliction. We know God, His word is life. Amen. And we can feed upon this word, this bread of life, that this is God's way of conveying to us that His ways are true and just. Amen. Jesus said, follow me and I will give you rest. And many times we just need to be still and consider the wondrous works, all the mighty works, the things that God has done, not only in the physical, but in our own spirit and our own lives, how God has lifted us up from the place that where we came. And again, the psalmist David, he said to God, for us to marvel in the... that's what God asks of us, to marvel in God's interest in mankind. And David asked that question. He said, why are you so interested in us, Lord? Why are you so interested in us? And we also see this. That was the challenge put to Job by his counselors. As we know, Job was having a real pretty tough time arguing with his counselors. But his counselors had to say, listen to this, Job. Stop and listen to this. Stop and consider God's wonders. How often do we do that? How often do we stop and just consider the wondrous works of God? And I'm sure that this is something that we all should be considering, that when we go ahead doing our own thing, doing it my way instead of consulting with God, whether it's a good thing, whether it's a right thing, whether it's the right time. And so we need to be doing that. And, you know, all we can say is, well, don't blame God and everyone and everything when things don't work out. Don't blame everyone and everything else. Don't blame God because of our mistakes or things that we've done wrong. If we'd done it our way, if we didn't consult God and say, Lord, just help me in this decision. I need help here. And often, quite often, we don't do that, do we? We just go and do it anyway. And if it works out wrong, well, we start looking to blame someone, don't we? But do it my way. That's God's promise, to do ask questions that He wants from us, for us to do things His way. Because His promises and His word says, and it tells us, He says, I will show you, I will help you. And that was God's promise to Moses, wasn't it? He gave Moses a mighty promise that this is how you'll go before Pharaoh. This is how I'll help you. This is what I'll show you. Do it. Do it my way and it will work out for you. But again, just referring back to the Psalms in Psalm 8 verse 3, here David is just consulting with God and talking with God. And he said to God, when I consider your heavens, the work of your finger, the moon, the stars which you have ordained. And he says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you should visit or care for him? And so David was asking God that question in these times of meditation and just reaching out. And he asked that question, why are you so interested in us, God? Why are you so mindful about me? What is it that you care about me so much that you should even send, you should visit us, that you should send us, there we can refer that, and the Son of Man that you should visit or care for him. And we can see how God cares so much for us, and we refer to that verse later on through the person of Jesus Christ, that God sent his own Son in person to visit us. Amen. But God is mindful, and so the psalmist, he asks that question, and what is man that you're mindful of? Well, we can say, ask why. Well, why are you so mindful, God? Why are you so interested in little me? because we are his creations, amen? And we are all important to God. We heard that this morning, that God, during communion, was related to that personal relationship. That's why God is so mindful about us, because he knows each and every one of us. We're all fearfully, wonderfully made. And God put us together that way, that we would be his people. We are his creations, and he wants us to walk in his ways. And that's why God is interested in us, because he cares for you. He cares for me. He wants us all to walk in the right way, in the right direction, along the right path, and to be his people and to do things his way. And just looking in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 5 there, it really it comes as a stern warning here. And it says, "Therefore the Lord of hosts says, consider your ways, set your heart on your ways," which is God's ways. And we ask again, why consider your ways? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because of what God tells us. He also told the Israelites. And he said to them, as he's saying to us today, he said, you have sown much and bring in little. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with a hole. And again, and further down the passage of scripture there, again says the Lord, consider your ways. Think about your ways. How am I walking today? How am I traveling today? Am I doing things in God's way? Am I looking to God? Am I asking? Am I questioning? Asking God. But here the scripture says, consider your ways. Think about it. Consider your ways. And so this morning, I say, church, don't deny yourselves the blessing of God. Don't deny yourselves the blessing of God, because all God wants is to that we don't neglect building our own lives, walking in his ways, understanding his precepts, and looking to him. And more so, God wants us to build a house, his house, because we are important to him. And when we do things God's way, and as we trust him, he will build your house, amen? God will continue to build your life. And that's his promise. He'll build our house, the house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That needs to be on all of our hearts. Take that as a word for you today. As for you and your house, you will serve the Lord. As for you and your family, you will serve the Lord. Because that's God's way. That's God's purpose for us. That's why part of all why he brought us to be a part of his wondrous kingdom, that we can love him and serve him with all our heart, all our mind, all our purpose, and just look to him, and he will fulfill everything in our life. It will give us that peace that we need. We won't have a spirit of confusion, but we'll have a sound mind. We'll make sound judgments, and we'll do all those things that God so dearly wants for us. Why? Because we are his people. We are his people. And he wants the very best for us. He wants to bless us in every way. Because our God is a God of abundance. Amen? God is a God of abundance. And he wants to bless each and every one in every way. Not just in small ways. In many big ways. And as I mentioned earlier, God doesn't do anything for us begrudgingly. God, it's a joy, it's a blessing for God to do things for us, to show us his plans and precepts, to show us his way. And when we respond to God's ways, when we walk in his way, I'm sure God rejoices so much. And he delights in our way. He delights in our ways. So again this morning, as we just come to a close, and I just encourage us, church, you know, it's not about us, is it? It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, letting him be the Lord of our lives. And as we consider his ways, as we look to him each and every day, not just today and next week I'll think about you again, but every day that we just look out, look toward God and ask God every day for that help and strength and encouragement that we need. And to consider, as the scripture says, consider my ways. Consider my ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. But in amongst all that, as the Lord says that, he says it lovingly and encouragingly to each and every one of us, that will minister to us, that will encourage us in every way this day. Amen? So this morning, I just again, as always we do, that...